Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
It's trashy, I know. Let me just say right now, I know it was trashy. But my girlfriend has a strange places fetish. We've done the deed in some pretty public places. And while it's awesome, it's very risky, obviously. We did get caught once, on a walking trail. It was the middle of the night, and hardly anyone takes to the trail that late. So we went from walking to doing the horizontal mambo. And of course, some old guy with a flashlight comes around the corner. She turned. I covered her, but the guy saw a lot of me. It was mortifying. So we tried to smile through it and wave him ahead, but he took it upon himself to lecture us about public decency and how ashamed we should be, and if he ever caught his daughter out here, yada yada. I'm sure you can imagine pretty much exactly how it went. So I told her we needed a break from the more public part of our adventures. She agreed, and a few nights later we went to the graveyard. Literally, the graveyard of graveyards. It's massive. Big enough for about 14 different drivable lanes and probably 50 more tombs or mausoleums or whatever they are, and a ridiculous amount of regular graves with regular headstones. Some gravestones were in shapes of benches, angels, chalices, crosses, crying maidens. You know, the lady in a robe looking ones. Mother Mary, maybe. Anyway, just a huge variety. So we walked around for a little while. We both liked creepy stuff, and it was chilly enough that walking was nice. The graveyard has enough trees that you never really feel exposed anywhere, but it's not exactly a forest either. We walked and talked, and eventually she stepped to the side and read aloud from a really nice black marble gravestone. "Here lies Slade Aberata, whose final studies of death brought him here. Whatever the hell that means." She shook her head and looked back at me, then leaned over the gravestone and smiled while looking at me. Now, obviously, I'm not going to go into the detail of that, so if you're reading this far, hoping for that kind of NSFW, you are mistaken. But there was some movement, some forceful pushing, and the last push, thankfully, ended with a loud cracking sound. By the time I realized that was happening, the top half of the gravestone slid forwards and hit the ground. She almost fell forward, but I caught her. I felt all sorts of emotions. The relief was immediately overshadowed by the fact that we had just broken a rather expensive looking gravestone, like someone's last memento to the living world, and we just destroyed it. She stepped back, quickly fixing herself, and looked at me with the same shocked expression I must have been wearing. "That sucks," I finally said. Taking a deep breath and sighing, I put my hands on top of my head and mouthed the four-letter word reserved for times like this, when I screwed up big time. "Yeah, I think this is how people get cursed. We're definitely cursed now, right?" she asked me with a flimsy smile. One of the many things I liked about her was her attempt to make everything better with some light-hearted humour. "Oh, for sure." I lifted my arms up dramatically and made my voice sound ghostly deep and spooky. "Return the slab." We looked at each other. Any other time we would have laughed, but with post-nut clarity, I knew that my options were A, own up to it and tell someone, or B, fix it and live with knowing I broke a gravestone and screwed up this guy's afterlife marker. Either way, I did need to return the slab. "Help me put it back. I'll call someone in the morning. Tell them I sat down on it or something." It didn't make sense, but it was the best I had. My girlfriend didn't critique my story. she just stepped around to the other side. I walked around, grabbed my half, she grabbed hers, and we lifted while moving it back to the bottom half. "Oh, hold on, set it down," I said, noticing the hollowed out center of the gravestone. "What is it?" she asked, now seeing it too. We carefully set the top half back on the ground, and I reached in the small hollow that had been hidden inside the black marble gravestone. The only thing inside was the book. Not leather, not ordinary paper. It wasn't skin either, so that was good. It was some kind of book cloth, which meant it was smooth, malleable, and felt nice. I removed the book and pulled out my phone to use the flashlight. The book was just pure grey, with no symbols or words. I flipped through the pages and saw that nearly every page was filled. Mostly words, but some sketches and diagrams. The title was on the first page: Thanatology from Both Sides. The title, like the rest of the book, was handwritten like a diary or journal, it seemed. Everything since removing that book has gone horribly wrong. We did replace the slab. I kept the book with me. I figured I could put it back when the time came to face whoever I had to about the breaking of the gravestone. Obviously, I should have left that book in the hollow. That night, I had some of the worst dreams I've ever had. I was sitting in a study, sitting at a rather nice-looking desk that was filled with old parchment paper and scrolls. Literal scrolls, like I was in some medieval room. And maybe I was. There was a fireplace, roaring with flames, that came up and over the mantle. Too much flame, but it didn't seem to spread, and the heat wasn't unbearable. There were glass tubes, cylinders, vats that bubbled, and on the shelf were three skulls of various sizes. But all of this was just a backdrop for the man that sat across from me. He seemed unaware of my presence as he scribbled furiously in a book. The grey book. I lifted myself up a little and peeked over the desk. "She's pregnant," the man said. Even in my dream, I felt my stomach drop and my heart skip a beat. Was he talking to me about my girlfriend, Helen? The man looked up at me, and now I was looking right back into his face. After the initial surprise passed, I realized he was not looking at me, but through me. I turned around and saw another person standing in the doorway. The light from the fire avoided them, as if they were meant to stay hidden. "An opportunity," the figure responded, a woman's voice. "An opportunity? For what? Distractions? How can I understand death when I'm distracted with life?" the man asked. He closed the journal angrily and looked sharply at the figure. "An opportunity to see death during the birth of life," the woman said simply, as if it was obvious. The man raised an eyebrow, slowly understanding. "An opportunity," he smiled a sinister smile. The flame roared higher, and only then did I feel the heat. It was fierce. It crawled across the room. The woman, the man, neither noticed. They didn't move or speak as the flames washed over them, consuming the room. But I felt it, burning my skin and trying my lungs. I screamed and woke up coughing intensely. Helen switched the light on beside me. "Kirk, are you all right?" she asked. I continued to cough and reach for the water I always kept to my nightstand. As I drank it, I felt the cold water touch where the fire had scorched my insides. But it hadn't. Not really. It was a dream, a nightmare. "Is something burning?" Helen asked. I nearly dropped the bottle when I looked at her. "What?" I asked, stunned. Helen sniffed the air. "Nothing. I thought I smelled burning. It's gone. It wasn't toast. I don't think I'm having a stroke. I didn't have the words to tell her about my dream. I didn't understand it enough to explain any of it. I told her instead that I was all right and for her to go back to sleep. But sleep for me was something I couldn't do. After a couple of feeble hours of lying in bed, remaining stuck with the feeling of being burned alive, I gave up. I carefully got out of bed and made my way to the living room, to the book. I switched on one lamp and opened it. In a matter of days, I will have the opportunity to witness the definition of creation. With the birth of my child, I will see firsthand the power of life, and I will bond it with the gift of death. At my hands, 20 men and women have been given to the goddess of death to better understand what it means to die. But what happens when life and death become one? With the proper chemicals, I am convinced I can assist my wife in the birth of death. Even after death, my child will still be born. The opportunity to understand death during such a moment is paramount to furthering my studies of death. I closed the book and felt sick to my stomach. I checked the cover, the back. I flipped through the pages for any trace of the burns from that nightmare vision. But the book was in excellent condition. The fire was only a nightmare. But what had I seen? It happened, hadn't it? I finally fell asleep on the couch, with the book dropped to the floor beside me. The next day, it took a little online searching to find who was in charge of the graveyard, and after calling them, we were prompted to leave a message. I'm calling to tell someone that one of the gravestones was damaged. It may need some repair or something, whatever it is you folks do. The name on the stone was Slade Eberetta. And the book? Helen asked, not loud enough for the machine to pick up on. I felt the book in my hand, considered it. Alright, that's it. Give me a call back if you need any more info. I hung up, looking at Helen, who looked back with some confusion. It's a weird book. I want to read a little more of it, I said truthfully. She rolled her eyes and sighed. You're going to be haunted. I smirked for my reply. I couldn't tell her no, I wouldn't be, because at the same time, I didn't realize how right she was. Every day that I read that book, I had nightmares that felt more like memories. The book wasn't long by any means, but with a hectic schedule of work and life, I made time when I could to read a few pages here and there. Despite the nightmares, I continued. It took 4 days for the graveyard caretaker to call me back. When she did, a woman named Pine called me back. When she did, I was nearly ready to deliver the book to her myself, just to be rid of it. Once we got the formalities out of the way, she said, "Well, I just wanted to reach out and say thank you for telling me about the gravestone. I thought you'd like to know that it was taken care of by the family, and the stone was fixed." "Fixed? How?" I asked. "Oh, well, to keep it simple, it's sort of like a glue compound we have. Then it's held in place until it's solid again," she informed me. I nodded reflexively like she could see me, then realized she said family. "Wait, Miss Pine, you said the family fixed it? Is that right?" "Yes, sir. In almost all cases, it's the family's responsibility to fix and maintain the headstones. When no family is present, it's on us." "Would you be able to get me in touch with the family?" I asked. The line was quiet for a minute. I could almost feel Pine considering my request. So I added, "I'd just like to pay my respects. It's been weighing on me after seeing the stone broken." I bit my lip. It was true, of course. It had been weighing on me. But not because of the stone. Screw the stone. It was the book I found in the hollow. The one detailing death and the man's pursuit of understanding death. Even going so far as to orchestrate the stillborn birth of his own child. The details of which had been equally horrific in the following pages. "Well, normally we wouldn't, but seeing as how you were kind enough to call, Sure, Pine said back. Then she gave me a name and a number. I sat at my kitchen table for a while, just looking at the number I'd written down. Helen was at work and would be for another 3 hours. I took a moment, gathered myself, and called. It only rang once. Hello? Asked the man's voice. I didn't say anything right away. My eyes searched my kitchen like I was looking for words to appear on the walls. Hello? He said again. Jesus, with his damn car warranty. Hello? Hey, sorry, I'm not spam. Or whatever. I said quickly, finding my voice. I'm calling to tell you it was me that found your grave. The grave. The damaged gravestone. I rolled my eyes at my own inability to speak. Ah, the voice said, followed by a pause. Yes, thank you for that. It's been mostly taken care of. Mostly? I asked. The voice was calm, collected, smooth, and it made me unsettled hearing him say, Yes, mostly. Because you see, the stone was a box of sorts for something that was to remain sealed away. It appears whoever broke the stone stole the item. He wasn't curious. He wasn't just telling me. He knew. He knew it was me. I don't know how I knew this, but I knew he knew. Have you read the book? He asked slowly. I almost hung up, honestly. I wanted to drop my phone in the sink and run the water. Instead, I replied, Yes. It was all I managed to say. He sighed, or groaned rather, into the phone. Well, you didn't finish it. If you did, you'd be dead. I somehow knew he was telling the truth. Death is complicated, he went on to say. I spent my whole life trying to understand it, and when I finally learned everything I could while alive, I finished writing that book. And do you know what she gave me in exchange for a lifetime of study? I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to breathe properly, and I didn't want him to keep talking. Every word was like adding ice to my already chilled blood. But he did have more to say. He didn't wait for me to respond before he continued. She denied me the one thing I desired, the final step in my studies. He huffed. Cruel, cruel mistress. You're slayed. You killed your child, I said, the only thing I could think of. Children. So many of them. He sounded regretful, but I wondered if it was for the children or for himself. A seemingly endless supply of subjects. How easy it is to create life. Of course, I was limited by the mothers. They hated me, rightfully so, and in time they became subjects on their own. I felt sick to my stomach and had to switch hands because the one holding the phone had become sweaty. The man sighed again. The book belongs with the dead, he said simply. You don't want it back? You don't want your book? I asked, angry of how casually this man talked about killing his own children. Want it back? No, I never want to see it again. It cost me everything. Your wives, your children, you didn't deserve them, I snapped back. My wives and children, he replied slowly. He wasn't dumb, he wasn't slow. It was me that had been confused. I realized my mistake. Death. It cost you death. That's all you care about, I asked, utterly stunned. She'll come for you, and for that, I'm envious. Read the book, or don't. It doesn't matter to me. I'll be here when you're all but dust. I'll always be here. And so will that damn book, hidden amongst the dead, where it belongs. Then he hung up, just like that. I tried to call back, tried until the number was disconnected. I went back to his grave a few days later, plagued by nightmares that grew more and more vivid and terrifying. But his headstone was gone, and that night, as I exhumed his grave, I learned that his grave never existed. No body, no casket. It was only ever a headstone. I buried the book back in the hole I had dug, where his grave should have been, and it appeared back at my house within an hour. So I did the only thing that made sense. I found a new graveyard and found a marker with a secret hollow just big enough for the book. And there, he remains. I won't tell you where or whose name is on it. I won't tell you if it looks old or new. It could be a simple stone or an angel or even just a chalice. It could be across the country or it could be in your own town. But I will tell you that every now and then I ride by and check on it. I don't stop and I don't get too close. But last night, I rode by it for the first time in months and saw a woman standing over it. A woman I had only seen in a nightmare.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.